Open eye in the shotgun with Wheaton. Takes the snap. Rolls near side right. Throws. It's caught. Touchdown, Greg Little. And the Browns lead.
Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio. This is Cleveland Browns Daily. Driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Here's Wheaton. Play action fake. Looking. Throwing. Wide open. Touchdown. It's open eye.
And now, here are your hosts, Vic Carucci and Nathan Zagora.
Well, it might be the bye week, a time when things are supposed to be kind of, chilling down, quieting down. No way on this show. We have a massive show for you today. Shortly, you're going to hear from the Playmaker. In our studio, the Hall of Famer, a surprise visitor, Michael Irvin. You're going to hear from him in a minute. At the bottom of the hour, you're going to hear from John Clayton from ESPN. We'll get his perspective as well on the Browns, as we're going to get from Michael. And then a little later in the show, Jerod Cherry. So without further ado, let's get to the Playmaker, because this was not expected by a lot of people. It was kind of kept under wraps, and then all of a sudden, in walks this man to talk with the Browns today. And Michael, first of all, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks you guys for having me. I'm glad to be here.
So let's explain why you're in town.
Well, I came in town to share with the guys. Coach brought me in, and just to talk with the guys, kind of give them. I gave them a synopsis of my own upbringing, and then we kind of talked about this team and where this team is, and talked about. I see a lot of some of our early days, the early Cowboy days. I see this a lot on this team, and they talked about where they could possibly go and what it takes to get there. It's one thing to come in and share with people about where you can go, but I always think it's important not to just tell them where you can go, but to make sure we talk about how you can get there. And those are the things that we shared and talked about.
Michael, as you come and you look at this Browns team, you got to see them on Thursday night when they defeated the Buffalo Bills. This is a team now that's gone through three different quarterbacks, Jason Campbell kind of settling in the last 2 weeks. How do you see this team, and how has it changed since that Thursday night when you saw the Browns against the Bills?
And see, that's what I tell. I said, listen, you guys are going through some things that a lot of teams will fall and crumble if they face those issues. It really will fall and crumble, especially at the quarterback position.
Right.
But yet they come up, and you're on your third quarterback, and you play the only undefeated team to a one-point game, and then you beat last year's champion. It's just a matter right now, you guys believing that you can do it and start working on the process of becoming a champion. And when I say the process, so many people think nowadays, because everything around us nowadays says instant. Everybody does everything that we get in this world. It's all coming right now. It's instant. So the process of becoming a championship gets thrown out. Nobody wants to go through that process. But it's like I talk with Joe and those guys. There's nothing greater than the Horse of Lombardi Trophy when you know it didn't start. It started in a place that was not good. Now you are not a person that says, I was added to a championship. You are a person that says, I built a championship. And you go beyond the football field and the walls of a meeting room and a locker room, because people who are trying to build companies say, hey, he built a championship over there. He knows how to help build me a championship with my company. And that's when you start being a part of something beyond football, when the game of football gives you a chance to be a part of something beyond your days of playing.
And you've seen this happen. You were part of this happening, obviously, with the Cowboys. So
starting 1-15 and going 3-13 and going 7, and having all of those team meetings. I shared this with them. We would have a team meeting, man, and come back out the next week and get our heads kicked in again. And then go in that meeting room, dude, what happened again? What are you doing about this? You're calling everybody out. What do you got to do? And then you go out there and get kicked in the head again. I remember watching the Redskins were coming in town one day. And they were coming off a championship, and we were hyped to play them. You know, we were hyped as the champions. We want to measure ourselves by the champ. And we were killing them in the first quarter. I mean, we were up. And I'll never forget Wilbert Marshall. The biggest, most scary dude I've ever seen on a football field is Wilbert Marshall. He had these big black lips. Then they were all white ashy. His eyes were red. He was real black. And you looked at the helmet, and he just scared the mess out of you. And I was like, let's go. We're killing him. We're killing him. And then Wilbert Marshall said, oh, don't worry. Just calm down, guys. They're just hype. When the hype wears off, we'll commence to whooping their butt. About the end of that first quarter, that hype wore off, they commenced to whooping our butt. I was like, okay, you know what I mean? It's going to take a little something. You learn at this level. You know, this level is a little different than all other levels.
Sure.
You can't just step out. I think RG3 learned that. Imagine, RG3 probably had success everywhere he's gone. So, you know, even after missing a while, he can step back on the field in little league and high school and college and still have success. Well, he learned this league is different. And a lot of the guys, they learn this league is different. You really need to make sure you have players around you. And even more important than that, have a commitment from each of those players that hey, you're going to get your job done today.
And when you talk about that commitment, you are one of the greatest wide receivers to ever play the game. The Browns have somebody that I think, and I'm sure you do as well, is extremely talented in Josh Gordon. Did you have an opportunity to talk to him about what it means to be a professional and the opportunity that he has before him, and also the opportunity to throw it all away that's before him off the field?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I've had a conversation with him. And let me self-indict before we get on Josh, you know, because, I don't want to say counsel, but I certainly share relationships and chat with a lot of guys around the league, guys that are just maybe not – fully understanding the opportunity in front of them, and you know, Josh Gordon or the Dez Bryants, you know, thing. And I would talk to Bishop about some of these guys. My Bishop T.D. Jakes. I said, man, Bishop, man, trying to tell 88 this or tell Josh this or tell this guy that. I said, man, they're not listening. And he says, he'll calmly say it to me. Yeah, you know, God works in mysterious ways, Michael. I said, what does it got to do with anything? What does it got to do with anything? He said, yeah, there's probably another 88 that people said the same thing about for quite a while. Just be patient. You know, and it really does. You know, it opens it up. I hearken back to the scripture where it says, you know, he that, if you find your brother overtaken in a fault, he that is spiritual restores such a one in the spirit of meekness. And at the end of that scripture, it says, which I think is interesting, considering thyself. So when you're restoring, remember the patience somebody had restoring you. So don't be so, I can't get it. He's not getting it. He's not getting it. What's going on here? Considering thyself is the part that makes me say, ooh, somebody had to tell you quite a few times. Just stay in and stay with it and keep pointing them in the right direction. And it works. And these guys, they'll come around and they get it.
So you and Rob Chudzinski, teammates on that 1987 national championship team at the University of Miami.
The U.
The tie, of course, with North Turner when he was your offensive coordinator in Dallas. But let's start with Chud. Chud, the coach now. What did you see in Chud, the tight end, and what do you see in Chud, the coach?
I told Coach Chudzinski a few years ago when we were with him in Carolina.
Ray Horton's kind of
Ray's another one. A lot of history with Ray. Sure. Ray Horton. So, you know, and then I told those guys that. But I told you, I said, man, years ago when we were in Carolina, we did a game. I said, hey, man, time is coming, man. What you're doing, you know, is you're going to get an opportunity. You're going to get an opportunity. And I know you're going to do well. Because he's just, he loves the game. He knows the game. And he understands the most important thing is, in order to get everything out of the men that I'm leading, I have to make sure the men know that I don't just care about them professionally, but I care about them personally. And if you show a man that you care about them personally, well, Mike, let's get dirty. Let's get down all the way. Let's talk real. I work on right now, God has laid on my heart, fatherlessness, you know, and the issues that we are facing in this country. You know how many young men are dealing with fatherlessness? I don't even need to tell you the numbers are staggering amongst African Americans, and most of these young brothers that are coming in here are being coached by a man that have never even seen a man in their house. Let's be real. Let's be real. And a lot of them fought through the ghettos to get here. And now they fought through the ghettos, didn't have a man. Their mom is arguing about the man that made him all the time. So now he comes into the league a lot of times with issues listening to a man, because everything in his house has been against the man. So he doesn't necessarily receive. And the importance of that coach, you have to receive this a lot. He has to receive these kind of guys a lot and make that guy know, hey, man, listen, I care about you. Right. Most of the men that this kid has probably had around him only cared about what they can get from here, not what they can put in him. Chud has an ability to show the Cam Newtons of the world, these young men of the world, I care about you. When you show a man you care about his person, he'll give you everything in the profession. He'll start making that commitment to you, and that's the important thing. And that's why I know he's going to be a huge success in this league. And what he's doing right now with this team, right now with this team, I think is an incredible job. To go through three quarterbacks in this league,
Trey Trent Richardson and still winning games.
And only be one back in the division.
Man, come on, man. You say what you want. And I know I played with him, and I think that speaks for itself.
And to touch upon that, you know, one of the things we've heard from the players about Rob, and we've had the opportunity to see, we talk to Coach Chudzinski every Monday. He's the same guy, they win or they lose. It's the same guy. Is that consistency so important, especially with a young team?
Absolutely. Absolutely, because remember now, they haven't had that consistency,
right?
You know, and I'm not talking about in football. A lot of them haven't had it in life. haven't had it in life, and they come in and they play the game out of anger. It's one of the things that I study too. You know, anger will only motivate and push you for a while, because we don't live in anger. You can't harbor it. You can't hold on to it. So that kind of anger, revenge thing, it only pushes you for a while. You got to have inspiration to make it on another level, as opposed to just anger. I'm mad about where I came from. No, I got to have the inspiration on another level. I want to be part of something great. I want to leave my mark. I told those guys, say what you will. I started in the ghettos of Fort Lauderdale. That was the way I started. But the NFL can't write their story without me now, baby. You can't write your story, NFL, without me, because I won three of them. And then it's just a telling your story. You're going to say, well, in Dallas they won this many. You put yourself in this history and do something that no one can ever take from you. You make it so that they can't write the history of this league without mentioning you.
He is Michael Irvin, the Hall of Famer and former Dallas Cowboys great, the playmaker. He's here in studio on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, of course, an analyst on NFL Network. Michael, it just seems, and I followed your whole career, covered a lot of your games, those Super Bowls, and you came up, we were talking off air about the Buffalo Bills and the Cowboys in those Super Bowls, and I see a guy in you now, it's been transformative. I could call you, we could label you a lot of things, TV analyst, Hall of Famer, all this stuff, but you seem to be dedicated to a lot more than that. You want to do something a lot more, leave a bigger mark than media or just being a celebrity.
Yeah, my piece comes from trying to correct. I think our greatest pain can bring about great promises if we face those great pains. You know, you see people go through some tough times. Bonnie Connie family, you know, I've spoken at one of their events, and I've laid on the carpet paralyzed. I know what it's like to have to feel that, oh my God, that moment, I'm paralyzed. I can't move. And for Nick Bonnie Connie and the Bonnie Connie family, for him to get up from that and build the Miami project and do the things that they have done, out of his great pain has brought a great promise that will serve so many people. if we are willing to face those things that brought us great pain. My bad decisions brought me great pain in my history. Now I can live through this and deal with it in my own cortex and regret it, or I can run to that same great pain and bring great promise out of it by making sure that my bad decisions do not become the bad decisions of other young men with promise. The badge of shame that it was before becomes a badge of entrance to get in the room to say, hey man, I know you have issues. Let me talk to you. And I am not Dr. Phil. I'm not telling you something I read in a book. I'm telling you something I went through myself. Let me give you a moment. Let me take a moment and talk with you about it. The Bible says, confess thy faults one with the other. Pray ye one for the other, and in this we shall find healing. It says, share where you are. Share what you've been through, so it'll give hope and understanding to all of the others that are listening. Now, the world, secular world, says, don't say a word. Don't just hold it in. And you do hold it in, and you implode. That's why 80% of the suicides in this country are men, because we implode. You know what I mean? Because we hold it in. We don't know how to let it out. So I want to get out. I want to talk to guys about some of the bad decisions, about all my bad decisions, in hopes of preventing them from making those bad decisions, and they can just receive the gifts, you know, and all the things that come from the great gifts that they've been given in athletic ability.
When you see a guy like Justin Blackman go through his issues and now he's suspended for the year, is that hard for you? Is that somebody you want to reach out to?
It's very difficult. And I know Justin, and you reach out to him, and I haven't had the response back from Justin that I would like to have. And it is sad. It is sad. I spent some time with him at Oklahoma State even prior to coming into the league, and it just, you know, I didn't see that in him. And I do wish for him. And look at when he steps back on the field, he's an incredible, incredible athlete. And I tell him, I said, man, listen, I almost didn't have the career I had. Because sometimes our gifts, our talents can take us to a place where our person is not prepared for. And you get in that place and all kind of things happen. And I almost didn't have that career, because my gifts and talent took me to a place that my person was not prepared for. But thank God, I was around some good people. I remember some of the things that my mom taught, and I walked up out of it with the help of other people. And now, you know, hopefully Justin will see this.
What's going on with the Miami Dolphins now, the whole Richie Incognito situation, Jonathan Martin? Is that, in your view, confined to something there with those two guys? Is it a much bigger issue, as some people think, in this entirely?
And see, that's one of the things I talked to the guys about today, you know, and the lesson in understanding, because even as a young man, I didn't understand that. I would make a bad decision. Everybody say, hey, come on, man, Michael, leave me alone. What were you when I was broke? You know, but you don't know how your decision affects everybody else. I didn't know it then. I know it now. And now people ask me those questions because his decision affects everybody. Now everybody starts thinking, oh, is this what we are? Is this how the locker room is? Hell no. Let me say it that way. Absolutely not. You know, there is a place in a locker room, man, that is not like any other. You know, there's certainly, because we drop the things that keep everybody so separated. We drop them and we stop making them issues. You know, race, all of these are not an issue in a locker room. So have I walked in and my guys, oh, hey, Blackie? Yes, absolutely. And I've called them names, absolutely. But we've done it in a sense of having fun and joking and everything. And that, what I heard, and especially when somebody doesn't want it, that's not team building anymore.
Right.
That's team tearing. That's killing a team. You know, and I was thinking about this, because, you know, as they try to ask us all the time on TV to try to bring back something that you relate this to, and I've been contemplating on sharing this, but the only thing I can relate it to, where, you know, so would you have gone through, would you have allowed it? Absolutely not. Are you serious? And the only thing I can relate it to is we were coming back for one game one time, and I guess I will share. We were coming back from a game. And I don't remember the game, but we were on an airplane. And Charles Haley, he was in one of those moods. And I mean, he was going in hard after one of our staff members. I won't say his name out of privacy for him. But he was going in pretty hard after one of our staff members that's very important to us as a team. And he just kept, and the guy wasn't saying anything. And Charles just kept going at it. And I was like, hey, enough of that, man. That's it. Hey, now I'm going to come back there and kill. I said, no, you're not. No, you're not coming back here. You're not kicking nobody's butt. That's like we're on an airplane. I said, we're going to stop this right now. We're not doing any of this. Charles said, oh, what you going to do? You going to come up here and whoop my butt? I said, no, I'm not coming up there to whoop your butt. But I promise you, you won't come through me to whoop his. That's it. We're going to stop this now. I was scared out of my wit. Charles is a big fella, and he's crazy. But thank God he didn't come up out of his chair. You know what I mean? Because so it's certain things, it is what it is. Now, I didn't want to go at Charles, but by no means was Charles getting into that guy because he was wrong. He was wrong, and thank God he stayed in his chair. We didn't have that issue, but it all calmed down. But he was way out of line, and he was off base, and you got to stand up. And if I was in that room with that guy with Incognito, I promise you, I would have said something about that.
And that's leadership, and that's taking it and drawing the line in the sand.
Yep.
And playmaker Michael Irvin with us. This has been unbelievable, riveting.
Oh, we could do this all day.
I know. Yeah. With the playmaker, it's fantastic.
I don't want to let you go, but we actually have to. But you're awesome, and thank you.
I just want to get one last word from the playmaker to the fans of the Cleveland Browns right now. Would you say you are optimistic about this, the future of this organization, and the direction that it's headed?
I think as optimistic as you've been in a long time. And I share it with those guys that too. I said, this is like Dallas. I mean, right now, they still treat me good at Dallas, and I haven't stopped it up since '99. You know, you turn this thing around, you win here. Oh,
own the city.
Oh, I know.
No, just not just you owning the city. When your son's son walk in this city, they'll treat him right. That's how appreciative the people here will be, because have been missing this for a long time. You give them a championship, they shall love you forever. Well, you will leave this place we call time, and you will go on to that place we call eternity and look back on time, and they will still be loving you if you get a Super Bowl to this city right here. And I think you're in as good a place as you've been in and quite a while under Chizinski and Norvin and Coach Horton.
Thank you so much. Yes. We really appreciate it. He is Michael Irvin, the playmaker, the Hall of Famer, joining us here. Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. I don't know how we can top this the rest of the show. We'll try, but it won't be
easy. We got to be like George Costanza. I think we're out. I think we just leave. We're done.
On a high note. Vic and Nathan, it's a Football Wednesday. More coming up on ESPN 850 WKDR.